Open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're just going to read and we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And I mean, do you guys sense that we are in the last days?
Yeah.
Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
And you know, are you scared?
No.
There are some people who are scared. And I think there's like three different types of people in these last days, Christians. There's those who are excited about it, and we're saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And then there's those who are scared Jesus' return, because they struggle with the thought of, am I ready? And then there's those who don't want him to come because they still got life to experience. But they ain't nothing can compare to the glory that's coming. Nothing down here, guys. So if you're saying, I don't want the Lord to come back yet because I want to be able to experience this, nothing can compare to what's waiting for us in heaven. The glory that's coming. So, but let's look at Galatians chapter 5. And I want to start off in verse 16. I think it's important because when these days we're living in are pretty evil, are pretty bad. I think about the our brothers and sisters in the Lord who were in Pittsburgh that they're having their service, and that shooter went in there, and just the evil that's happening right now. It's not giving you any warning. It's not going to let you know when it happens. I was watching the news this morning, and they had a man on there who was giving tips on how to prepare if a shooter does happen. And I was listening to him, and I thought, wow, yeah, you know, that's pretty much what we would do is I make sure you have tennis shoes so I can outrun you. No, not really. But we have to be ready. We don't know what can happen. And but how are we to prepare? How are we to act in these days? And I think here Paul gives us a good example on how we should live our lives in these times. Well, look at verse 16. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, you know, Paul, he tells us it's so important that we walk in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? When he says walk in the Spirit, that word walk means, it means to live. It means to tread around all over. There's this proof of ability and that you have to be occupied in the Spirit. What is occupying your life today? What are you so occupied with? And what is so heavy in your life right now that's cutting in on you? I know when Paul wrote to the believers in Galatians, he said, hey, you guys ran well. You were doing well and everything was going great. Who cut in on you that kept you from obeying the truth? I think, what are the things that are keeping us from obeying God's word? What are the things that are keeping us from growing in the Lord or getting closer to the Lord? What are keeping us from coming to being consistent in church every Sunday? I mean, I see a lot of people come, and then I won't see them for weeks, and then I'll see them come, and then again weeks. What is it that's so important that's occupying our life from keeping us from being consistent? And you got to ask yourself as we look next week here in Romans chapter 14, where Paul's telling us that we got to judge our lives. You got to judge your life, because if you don't judge your life, God's going to judge your life. In other words, you got to look at your own life and where you stand in light of God and how you're living your life in the Lord. But Paul says you gotta tread around, you gotta walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you're not gonna fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not gonna perform it and exercise it and accomplish it and live for it, because you're gonna be so occupied by God. Because we're always occupied with something, right? In our entire, that's part of our life, is that we're always occupied with something. We're always doing something. But if we keep the Lord first, then we are going to end up walking in the Spirit. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So we're having this spiritual battle, guys. There's this sinful nature and this passion, the flesh. You know, it's a passion. It's carnal minded, and it's opposite of the spirit. There's a spiritual battle going on. Paul said, "The things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I sometimes end up doing. I hate it. I hate the flesh. When I blow it, I say, oh, why did I do that? Oh, I hate this flesh. But the spirit in me is willing. I always hear, God willing, I'll be there. I think God is willing. Why wouldn't God be willing for you to sit at his feet? You know, that's me, though. God is willing, and the spirit in me is willing, but it's that, just that flesh, that spiritual battle that we're up against, that's warring against the spirit, that's contrary to one another. It opposes each other. And so we're in this spiritual battle. But he says in verse 18, he says, but if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law, nor, and then he gets into the works of the flesh, and he gets into certain sins here. But he says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not going to be under the law. You're not going to be under the law of, when I think of being under the law of guilt and condemnation, and because I want to be living in the Spirit. I'm living under God's grace. I know I ain't perfect, and I know that. See, I'm already in trouble because I forgot. I got to mention this, that today's my anniversary, 41 years of marriage. Yeah, that's a long time. I think 41, to be honest, you don't see a whole lot of, and I envy you guys who are in the 50 years, you know. 40 years, see, I'm in trouble already. Well, I'm ahead of myself, okay? 40 years. It seems like, well, you know what, if you add that I met her in the third grade and been with her since the sixth grade, you can add that on, then it's pretty much eternity, you know. But again, you got to be led by the Spirit. You got to allow God to lead you. You got to allow God to rule in your life, especially in these days that we are in. And notice he says here in verse 19, now he gets into these works. And we're just going to go through it because we're going to take communion. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, guys. I mean they're known. They're evident. They're an outward act. And it's going to come out regardless of what you do in secret. The scripture tells us that what is hidden in darkness will be revealed by the light. And he says they're evident, he says, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revilries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the question is, why would we want to practice these things? Now, that's the key, guys. And I guarantee you, every one of you probably have committed these if you're not committing them now. Spiritually. Because it's not just talking physically, it's also talking spiritually. But the key here is practice. I think that's the key here. That word practice, he's talking about those who actually profess these sins, those who get good at them, and they're always talking about them, living for them, and maybe even defending these acts. That's the key, is you practice. Now, we blow it. We get tripped up, but here's how I try to explain to people. How do I know I'm practicing? Well, say you're walking down the street and you see Satan go like this, and you see him put his foot, and you walk, and you purposely trip over it. Well, that's practicing it. But what if you're walking and you don't see it, and Satan does this, and you've tripped over it, but you get up and you continue to walk? That's something differently. It's when you know in your heart and you are living for it. I mean, that it's a lifestyle. And you're getting good at it. I mean, you're practicing every day to get better and better and better. That's the difference. We don't practice it no more. We have changed. Why? Because we are walking in the Spirit. And we are led by the Spirit. But, you know, there's times when I do trip up. And I admit I do, and I blow it. And I know that that's where God's grace comes in. And that's where he forgives, and his mercies endures forever. And his grace, he gives us what we need and not what we deserve. So that's the difference. Are you practicing sin? Are you loving it? Is it your lifestyle? Do you wake up and you can't wait to get out there and practice these issues in your life? Or, you know, are you walking and being led by the Spirit? He says this in verse 22. Look at 22, because this is where we need to be. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's what communion is all about. It's about love, about Jesus laying his life down for us so that these sins that he's talking about, these acts that are evident, that are known, and they're known outwardly, and those who profess them and those who get good at them can come and can experience the love of Christ. Because that we were one time like this. I was like this at one time, and I couldn't wait to get up and to wake up and to cause havoc. I did it for a living. I woke up, I can't wait to cause havoc. You know, Andy was like that. Fernando, we all did it. That's our lifestyle back in when we were teenagers. We looked forward to doing these things. It was fun, but it brought forth death. And now we live to die to our flesh, and we live for the Lord, and we're no longer controlled by these things because we are led by the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. And if we know the love of God, he says that's the one fruit that God wants us to give for him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to love him with what? With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants us to love him and not love the things of the world like we love God. God's a jealous God, right? And the reason why God is jealous, because he doesn't want to share us with anybody else. He loves us. And so we offer that fruit up to God. God, that's the one you want to give to God, is your love. And if you love God, then you're going to love others. And you're going to eventually love yourself. But he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then after, that's the fruit of the Spirit, singular, it's love. And then from love, God gives us the fruit in our lives, which is what? Joy and peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The peace that passes all understanding, right? Not like the world gives. It's that peace and joy that we need in our lives. I need the joy of the Lord. And there's nothing worse than seeing a believer who does not have the joy of the Lord. They look miserable. They look like there's no joy. I want to have the joy of the Lord because that's my strength. And then that's the fruit for us. And then the fruit that we have for others is long-suffering. We need long-suffering for one another and for others. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such, there is no law. God takes care of it all, right? And we need to know the love of the Lord. We need to know, and we need to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And anything that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God, we have to take that into captivity, and it's going to be done through obedience. Because he said, through our obedience, disobedience will be destroyed. And we have to seek the Lord, and we got to resist the devil. Now, if you resist the devil, he says, what did he say he's going to do? He's going to flee, right? All right, I just resisted the devil. He's gone. Now what do I do? Well, the next thing is you got to draw near to God. So what? So he can draw near to you. You just don't resist him and then go about your business. Why? Because he's coming back. The enemy, just because you have one victory doesn't mean you're done. He's coming back, and he's going to come back full force. And that's why we have to draw near to God. So we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And I want you to think about the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And the love that Jesus did for us so that we're here today. And how we're going to be able to withstand through these end times. that's happening, because I think the end times are just, they're just, it's swallowing up people. It's swallowing up souls, and Christians are, they're falling by the wayside. I can't believe how many Christians are just getting caught into this, these end times, and are blinded to what's going on out there. They're falling asleep, like he said, they're falling asleep. And we need to wake up, and we need to allow God to rise up and get back to our first love. And so I want you to think about your walk with God, your own personal walk with God, and think about how much love he had for you and how much love do you have for him. So as we prepare for communion, just examine your life. And are you being led by the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit, or are you fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Are you led, or are you under the law? Are you under condemnation, under conviction all the time? And are you living these acts here that Paul talked about that are evident? Are you struggling with those things? If you are, then you need to surrender them over to the Lord. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, examine your life this morning and be ready, because you know what? Jesus is coming back. He could come back right now. Wouldn't that be great? Bam! He came back right now, and oh man, there'll be a bunch of empty seats here. Empty seats. That'd be so awesome. So let's prepare our hearts for communion.